Blog Talk Radio.
Once again around this spectrum.
We're coming together as pilgrims, Father God, through this bird land. I'm asking you, God, to anoint these lips of clay, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins. Lord, I'm asking you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. Father, I would be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and praise. These and other petitions we place before your throne of grace tonight, God. And we give your name the glory and the honor. These and other blessings we ask in thy son Jesus' name once again. And we all shall say in unity, amen and amen. All right, saints of God and friends and loyal listeners, kinship, family, supporters of the gospel, I'm going to be with you tonight, 30 minutes on the clock. And I got a lot to cover on tonight. I know I might not get it all covered, but however the Lord lead, I'm going to let God lead and I'm going to follow on tonight. And I just want you just to sit back and get comfortable and just help me to just enjoy the Word of God in its entirety. I just thank you, my loyal and dedicated listening audience out there in podcast land. I just thank God for you. And so we were talking about on the last evening, and we're going to try to wrap this up tonight. I hope and pray that I can kind of do a speed down and kind of wrap this, the back ladder up tonight, because I got another theme that's approaching right after this one. So we'll just, you know, let the Lord lead and I shall follow where he leads me. So like I first stated, we was talking about the backslider. And I've got a kind of a sniffle, so just overmit my sniffles on tonight, because I will be kind of sniffing on here and there. But for the most part, I'll try to keep it to a minimum. All right, we're talking about the backslider. And so we left off, and we were talking about Peter, we find out that the angel, hallelujah, told Peter, one of the disciples, matter of fact, told Peter that he could go and to the resurrection. And so I would just like to ponder your thoughts on this. Why do you think specifically that Paul, was it that Paul denied God? Do you think it was because that he was just so strongful over the denial of Christ? And we know that eventually Paul met the risen Christ Jesus. And then Christ asked him again, said, do you love me? He asked him that question, do you love me, three times. And Peter denied Christ, but three times Christ gave Peter the opportunity to reaffirm his love, commitment, and dedication. And so I would just like to know, are you a backslider, come to the cross and say, God, you know I have sinned, and you know where I have sinned, and I lay my sins at the feet of the cross, and I'm asking you to deal with it, please, sir. Wash me and fill me anew with your Holy Spirit, and help me to start to live again for you. I'm telling you that God will restore you in the years that the swarming locust has eaten up. We read that in the law of Joel 2:25. Won't you come on back to him now? We know that the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. So why not begin again now? And we also have in place, God has in place, rather, the protection from backsliding. So there is a way that you can keep from backsliding as well. So one way you can keep from backsliding is to never neglect the daily private prayer. We find that in the law of Hebrews 11 and 6. And we must meet with God and speak to him daily to undergird our faith. And that I find that if we neglect the secret place of prayer, it becomes hard to even keep a smile on our face. The Christian life must never allow drudgery to overshadow its delight. Never neglect daily private Bible reading. And you can read in the law of John 5 and 39. When we pray, we speak to God. When we read the scripture, he speaks to us. So ask God to teach us something fresh from his word each day. Like the Israelites gathering the manna, collected while it is still resting on the dew. Hallelujah. Before it is contaminated by the world, take the manna and feed on Christ by feeding on his word. And then you can also do something for the Lord each day by serving others. Seek daily to speak to an unsaved person about Christ. Give a tract to a salesperson, a service station attendant, or your neighbor, a visitor, or put a gospel booklet in an envelope and mail it to a friend. Do something for Christ by feeding his lamb. You can also visit the sick, care for the lonely. Be concerned about those who nobody else is bothered with. Seek God guided in all you do. In Isaiah 55 and 6, if you're in doubt as to whether something is right or wrong, seek God's blessing on it before proceeding. God is the leader. We are the followers. So never go to a place where you would be embarrassed to be found by Lord Jesus. Never say words that you would blush to speak if Christ was there listening. Remember, he is there. And then follow no one but Christ. The Lord is the one who way you are following. Do what he would ask you to do. And live for him in all you do. Be consumed with the zeal, hallelujah, for him. If fellow Christians have set a good and godly example, learn from them. Enjoy reading Christian literature. And then also, as you seek people's strength, they may even make you desire to live as they did. But never just blindly follow Christians. They too may go astray. Your example is to be like Christ. And never follow your feelings. If they contradict the word of God, it is often easy to be confused about your point of reference. Hallelujah. And so, you can always, but also be sure and not confused. And also, you can do a lot for Christ just by being diligent in obedience to God. And like I said, you can read his word and his teaching and feed on the word of God and Christ himself. Spend time with him daily and consider each new day as one when you could perhaps win somebody for him. There is joy in walking with Christ, but it is hard work trying to live as a Christian without spending time with him. Have you stopped growing spiritually? Have you slipped? Are you a backslider? If you're a backslider, I beg you to come back to the cross. Claim the washing that Christ purchased with his own blood. These are the words that you can say. Say, Lord, from this day forth, I'm starting again. I urge you to also do something practical about that. Perhaps you need to write down the area of your life that needs to be altered. It may be helpful to share it with a dear Christian friend. You can trust and ask him or her to check you in the future to see how you're getting on. We are all sinners. The Apostle Paul described himself as the chief of sinners. And also less than the least of all the saints. Let us first admit that we have not been what we ought to have been, and then come back to Christ. Let us ask him to help us to start with a fresh beginning, and instead of being filled with our own ways, to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that's found in the law of Philippians 1 and 11. So that concludes the theme of the backslider. Now we will begin our new theme for tonight, and that is hidden problems plus hidden faith. Let me say that one more time. Hidden problems plus hidden faith. Now I know my time, I'm about halfway on the clock, so I might have to come back and refurbish this on tomorrow, but if I do, so be it. I don't have nothing but time, and I am on God's time watch, not mine. So, as I was saying, the theme tonight is hidden problems plus hidden faith. If you confess your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's in the law of Romans 10 and 9. Don't we all hate being interrupted, according to a well-circulated story? Randolph Churchill was talking to his father. When Sir Winston interrupted him, Randolph spoke again, only to receive the reply, "Don't interrupt me when I'm interrupting." We find out that Jairus must have felt similarly annoyed with a certain woman who came to Jesus with a hidden problem, especially since Jairus' little girl was only barely alive and he needed Christ immediate help. Yet this woman drew Jesus' attention away from Jairus and interrupted the petition of this ruler of the synagogue. We find the woman's story in Luke 8 and 41 through 48. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had only a daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitude thronged you and pressed you, and you said, "Who touched me?" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now Jesus was used to interruptions. He saw each one as an opportunity instead of an intrusion. For example, when Jesus was speaking in one crowded house, a paralytic was lowered through the roof to meet with him. While Jesus spoke to his disciples, a man interrupted and asked Jesus to speak to his brother about dividing their inheritance. Another time, when Christ was asleep in their boat, the disciples awoke him fearfully that the storm that has arrived would wreck them all. Even Jesus was praying, the disciples interrupt him, saying that everyone was looking for him. Only days before Christ's crucifixion, while on his way to Jerusalem, he was interrupted by blind Bartimaeus, who shouted out for help and healing. Haste is a characteristic of people with limited power and man-made priorities. Jesus, who followed the divine timetable and had limitless resources, took each interruption as an opportunity to serve and teach after all. Christ came for people with needs. Jairus was an important person, a man of influence, who commanded respect, yet who fell at Jesus' feet when his daughter became ill. Jairus begged Jesus to come with him. The request was urgent. No time could be wasted. But it was at a desperate moment that Jesus allowed a woman to interrupt. Later we read that Jesus' delay was followed by a double blessing for Jairus. pleas for his daughter's healing were also answered. We read that in the law of Luke 8 and 49 through 56. And like I said, we have hidden problems. You know, we have hidden problems that we don't know about. You know, a lot of times you go to the physician and they run tests. They do blood samples and they run tests on you to see if all is well. And then all of a sudden, sometimes the doctor come back with a good report. Sometimes the doctor come back with a report that's not so good. And so they'll say, well, Mr. So-and-so, we found out in the x-ray that you have cancer. So now we find that that was a hidden problem that you didn't know of until the x-ray showed it up. So this is what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about hidden problems. And I know my time is closing in, but I'm going to try to read a little bit of this, and then we will convene on the next program. The poor lady in this passage about had suffered from a chronic flow of blood for 12 years. She probably felt weak and lethargic most of the time, since she had bruised herself in visiting every doctor available and paying dearly for their service. She had lost both her health and her wealth. Even worse, with this particular illness, she was unfit for physical intimacy and was also ceremonially unclean, thus curtailing spiritual life as well. And furthermore, we find that there seems no hope or signs of healing and cure. In so many ways, this lady is like most of us, a hidden problem affecting social, spiritual, physical, and emotional well-being lives in every one of us. The deadly plague of sin, we have suffered the debilitating inroads of sin. Longer than the woman and our multiplicity of plan to deal with the problem have been as useful as her consulting one doctor after another. Human effort, no matter how violent, is pitiful, inadequate for procuring forgiveness of sin or power over evil. We find out that even in doing tears and prayers and hungry and laceration of the flesh, but all in vain pursuit of a clean conscience before God. I was nothing the better, but rather the worse. Hallelujah. And we know that as pilgrims, we'll be climbing and crawling and trying to seek God's face. Sometimes life seems hopeless and burden seems to weigh us down. Hallelujah. But we know that in endurance, God will bring us out. And we can rejoice, not in our own effort, but in the finished work of Christ. And as the scripture would say, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not works, lest any should boast. So we know, likewise, it was only when the woman was at the end of her rope and had exhausted her own efforts that she came with her hidden problems to Christ. One can imagine that poor woman pushing her way through the narrow streets of the busy city. The crowds were an obstacle, but she was suffering, and perhaps she knew that Jesus always showed sympathy to the blind, the maimed, and the needy. Her faith was hidden so far it was unexpressed in words or actions. There was always and always has been and always will be a kind of mass contact with Christ in so-called Christian countries. Hallelujah. One day in seven steels find the wheels of industrial grinding to a halt and the doors of commerce closing in on the Lord's Day. We remember Christ's birth at Christmas and his death and resurrection at Easter. Hallelujah. So now I'm going to leave it right here. And we will come back on our next radio broadcast so you can tune in again to the old Ship of Zion. And your host is Senior Pastor Janice Ward of God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Ministry. And if you have any prayer petitions you would like to submit, you can submit them in care of the old Ship of Zion, Senior Pastor Janice Ward. If you have any letters or any comments that you would like to send to the old Ship of Zion, you can send them in care of an email. And that email address is janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com. In ending, I hope and I pray that I have said something to infuse your spirit and impact your mind. As I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God goes in you. Bye for now. Hallelujah. Forgive me. Hallelujah.